Today is our last Sunday with the New Year sermon series, I Choose. Yes, choices matter. Life is full of choices. The decision that we are making today will really impact who we become and what we can do in the future. Among many life-shaping decisions are these three choices: to choose discipline over regret, to choose purpose over popularity. And today we talk about our third and final choice, to choose the important over the urgent. And then here you might feel that you wanted to break in and to say, wait a minute, preacher, urgent things are important, aren't they? And it's understandable to say it. So please hold on to the questions. Probably you can find your answer to the questions, I hope, at the end of this sermon eventually. And I guess you probably also agree that urgent things are not always important, right? Then, another question here. What is the difference between urgent and important? And have you heard of the urgent and important matrix, which is attributed to former U.S. President Eisenhower and Stephen Covey, the author of the best-selling self-development book titled 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Yes, thanks to this sermon, I got to know it. As you can see on the screen, this matrix, which is the dimensions of important and urgent, has 4 quadrants. In the top left corner, important and urgent, you might put things like what? Crisis, deadlines, and impending problems to solve. In the top right corner, important, not urgent, could consist of things like relationship buildings, long-term project planning, preventive maintenance, and sometimes recreation. Then Stephen Covey says in his book, the bottom left corner, not important and urgent, might consist of interruptions, some calls, some meetings, and some report. Then, the bottom right corner, not important and not urgent, consists of time wasters, some pleasant activities, and other trivial tasks. And you might want to spend as little time on not important, not urgent stuff as possible. But at the same time, it's not fair, probably, to say that those activities have no worth at all. Meanwhile, the least questionable is probably to give number one priority to choose important and urgent things. Then here, I remind myself that it's not true that urgent tasks are always bad ones, while important tasks are always urgent. In our lives, we are constantly given works that we are forced to deal with. Then, the longer we leave them not taken care of, the more urgent they become. Okay, here's what happened to me yesterday. As of Saturday morning, my sermon preparation was done about 80% to preach. It's good, right? Then what was given to us? Again, as I said, the urgent tasks are usually something that are given to us. Then what was given to us when we woke up yesterday? Snow everywhere, right? Snow everywhere. And the jar to shovel, about 10 inches heavy snows on our driveways and sidewalks, right? And this must be called what? Urgent job. Because I knew that I had to deal with it on Saturday morning, I took care of an important work, which was the sermon preparation in advance, proactively. But the problem was, in the sermon I already wrote, I was saying as if urgent tasks were not big deals in our lives. And it's not true, right? We have to do shoveling, right? And we have to deal with the sudden loss of loved ones, the sudden loss of the job that had been means of living and a meaning of life to us. We have to get through life crisis, right? Now, urgent things are important to deal with. Then what? Do I have to change the title of this sermon to I choose the important and the urgent, and I choose everything? But you know what? It's not that you choose the urgent. It's the urgent that chooses you. So I felt a good reason to stay with this title, but had to reorganize and rewrite the sermon. Oh. Then this sermon became all about two sentences. What? Do I mean that now I can end this sermon with two sentences? No, I'm sorry. I mean, the title of this sermon can be supplemented with two extra sentences. First, when we say we choose the important over the urgent, we mean that we do not allow our lives to be dominated by urgent tasks. Urgent things come our way, usually from all different directions. In most cases, they are not related to one another. They also come and go. Many times they distract us from our attention to what we believe is important and life-formative and life-sustaining. Because again, they all come from all different places with different interests, yet all competing for our time and attentions. Sometimes we should remind ourselves that, oh, this is not something can dominate and occupy me. While taking care of urgent things that way, while living our lives in a state of constant motion and busyness, we might feel like, yeah, we are doing something and making a progress, but we might never be focused on what's important. And this was what I constantly remind myself of all the last holiday season long. Again, I needed to remind myself, especially during the busy holiday season, what's the focus that I stay on? And I realized that such teaching isn't needed still to me. Why? Because I find myself constantly being tempted to believe that life should be busy with lots of projects and activities in order to be fruitful and meaningful. And that's wrong. What's worse here is that it is us who complain about how busy and crazy our life has become. By whom? By us. In the first gospel story for today, we see Mary and Martha. When Jesus enters their house, Martha makes her busy doing all the preparations for their guest. Meanwhile, her sister, Mary, sits at Jesus' feet, listening to the teacher. And Martha is now upset. And when she complains, then Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and distracted by many things." Here, I don't want you to hear Jesus' words as his disapproval of Martha's act of service. If there is any criticism in his words, it is of Martha's worry and distractions, not of her service. Her act of love is good, but being distracted by her doing things, distracted from her being with Jesus is not good. Sure, living from day to day requires us to perform an unending series of repetitive tasks. Cook a meal, do the dishes, and fold the laundry, and clean the house, which are not what I do, right? Home. But I know this unending, the series of repetitive tasks are all upon us. And as much as we like to pray and read the Bible, someone has to prepare the next meal for the rest of the family. And Martha was trying to be a good host. But by challenging her, Jesus tells Martha that while some hospitality is appropriate, Martha has allowed her urgent task of hospitality to take a priority, dominations over spending time with Jesus. Martha has denied herself the better part, which was Jesus' holy and healing presence. And this leads us to the second part of what we mean by the title of this series. I choose the important over the urgent. Yes, we write, I choose the important of the urgent, and we read it this way. We choose what is most important in our lives and stay rooted in it. I believe that it is to know who we are and whose we are. Why is it most important in our lives? Because it is the foundation of our being. And only when our identity stands firmly, the choices we make become ours, not shaken, and can be claimed as ours without reservation, even at a pressing situations. Today in this sermon, I could pass on to you some practical tips for effective time management, such as what? Make a list of tasks and give a score to each task, how important and how urgent, and go from it. Or some other practical tips may include set deadlines, set constant reminders for yourself, and set a system to hold you accountable, and learn to say no, etc. And you know this, I could preach these tips, but I knew that such tips, yes, go on, and most of all, I felt that there must be something more profound and fundamental to know and apply when it comes to choosing the important over the urgent. And in the second gospel reading for today, I see Jesus, not just the teaching here, but sharing his own experience on how and where to spend his time and energy most importantly. Here, Jesus seemed to make an unexpected choice in a situation where what he is forced to do is very clear and it calls for instant actions. Let me unpack the story more here. It comes at the beginning of his ministry. Once Jesus started healing people, word spread quickly, and people from all over the region came to him for help. Obviously, this was urgent and important for Jesus to heal and to deal with the people's need. As we read in the gospel, Jesus came to save the lost and to give us life so that we can live life to the fullest. And this was the good news of God that he proclaimed in words and in deeds. And this was the purpose of his life. According to Mark chapter 1, it seems that people formed long line, perhaps camped out to meet Jesus, to listen to him, and to be healed by him. And he knew that he had works to do for them. Then what? What he was forced to do at that time was, yes, heal people and preach the gospel right now. However, the scripture says that early in the morning, yes, before he started his day with his ministry of healing and preaching, he rose and went off to a solitary place where he prayed to do works for fulfillment of life purpose is important and urgent. In other words, always demanding. I believe all such good works are life-enhancing and fulfilling only when we are rooted in our knowledge of who we are and whose we are. And that's what Jesus chose when he went off to a solitary place to find himself and ground himself again and again in his relationship to God. And this is how we seek God first as we sang this song this morning. Yes, praise team introduced us to a new song for our worship today, Stand in Your Love. Yes, it is important to stay rooted in the knowledge that in love, God holds us up. By grace, we can stand in love and we can stand on rock. You might think this knowledge to know who we are and whose we are is easy to choose, but it is also true that it is easy to forget. And we live our lives as if we have nothing to do with this identity. If this knowledge rules over us day after day, moment by moment, then we can ask most difficult choice questions in our lives in a right way. What should I choose as a person of a faith? Or we may ask the questions this way, what would God choose? Especially when you are in a situation where you feel making choices is difficult, I hope this new simple way of putting the question can be found as practical as some other self-help practical tips to lead you to a right decision. And now I wrap up all this sermon series. Not just when you are facing a difficult decision, it's about choosing between what's important and what's urgent, but also when you hesitate before choosing the pain of discipline because of temptations of instant pleasure, which entails inevitable regret. And when you are tentative about choosing purpose over popularity, I hope and pray that you can be reminded of who you are. And then you can ask yourself, what does God want me to choose? Or more simply, as we have looked at Jesus' teachings and stories over the last 3 weeks in this sermon series, at each time of making choice, we may ask with this well-known question, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That way, you and I may not just make wise choices, but choose to live like Jesus and live as a beloved children of God. And like Jesus, may we experience a life of abundance, a life of peace, a life of meaning, a life of fulfillment, and life of freedom. May these choices guide our choices. Okay, may these simple questions about reminding ourselves of who we are and whose we are guided our choices throughout 2020. May these choices help us walk in the way of Jesus and bring us the fullness of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.